This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Lots going on, and we're keeping you up to date minute by minute, second by second. It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're talking about free agent moves as free agent period, the free agent and legal tampering has started, which means, again, some of these deals are being announced. They won't become official until Wednesday, but all this stuff's out there. And the big one for us today is the Falcons making a decision to release and move on from Grady Jarrett. And, Mike, you know, we've been talking about it. Our listeners calling in talking about it. Because I know you feel some kind of way. One side of this is, and we've heard this, what are we doing? He's one of our best players. You have to make tough decisions, and this is part of the conversation we're having today. And I think for where we currently are, we just don't have, Mike, the resources or the wherewithal to kind of pick and choose now and say, oh, yeah, we can afford to do that even if it's the wrong move. From this point on, everything has to be right. You've got to fix what you've got, and everything else has got to fall into place. So, yes, the draft is important, but first you got to fix the money situation that you got yourself tied up in. And I said this to Mike as we started the show. Part of this, and I'm not solely going to blame it on it, but part of this is the Cousins situation. Part of this is the money that you tied up in Cousins in a basically a three-year, $100 million deal that, you know, has put you behind the eight ball, and now you're going, okay, how are we going to figure the rest of this out when you know you're in need to spend some money on your defense?
Yeah, I know that. I swear this week I'm not going. I put it out there. I pinned it to my Twitter account. So you know where I feel about this. You could have really beefed up your defense and just trusted Penix. That's water under the bridge. But this Cousins thing is like it's like a bad penny that keeps turning up. It just keeps coming back on us. So guys, the odds of Cousins you getting anything from anyone, including a draft pick, and they taking any money off your hands is not likely, especially as all these other quarterbacks are starting to slot into place around the league for teams that need a quarterback. Now, the Giants, to my recollection right now, Giants still need a quarterback. The Browns could use a gap guy, depending on how they play the draft. You know, again, unless you're going to go get Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward, and you know where you're slotted in the top five, you can go get it. But, you know, it seems to me, other than injuries, and, you know, the odds of someone having an injury in minicamp are, you know, next to nothing. So you basically eventually will have to cut him, because somewhere between that post-June 1st and when camp starts end of July, there's just no way they're going to have him in that building, because he did try to strong-arm him. He basically went around, over the GM and over the coach and said, I was hurt. I wasn't fine, but you said you were fine. No, I was hurt. And then he goes directly to the owner, cap in hand. Well, maybe not cap in hand. Maybe he said, hey, I'd really like you to take me to a team that could use a quarterback, you know? And what Arthur probably said. I'd give anything to be a fly on that wall. Hear what Arthur said to him there. But either way, here's where we find ourselves at. I mean, guys, if Terry can find a way to move him for anything more than, you know, a dollar, that's a bonus for us in a draft pick.
It really is. If you're just joining us, Sam Darnold has a new home, Seattle. Justin Fields has a new home. He is going to the New York Football Jets. And by the way, for those who don't remember, Garrett Wilson at Ohio State played with Justin Fields.
Right.
So they know each other pretty well, and that was his quarterback. But nevertheless, so we're seeing all these quarterback movement, which has Mike talking about all the places for Cousins to potentially land, and what are the options for us. More news to report, guys, as we move along through the day, and there will be. As a matter of fact, over the next week, there's going to be plenty of news, but a lot of this stuff is leaking out. And we're getting word about a lot of the deals. And the Sam Darnold deal, by the way, everybody was talking about $50 million for Sam Darnold? 3 years, $110 million with $55 million in guarantees. That's a steal.
I mean, if I'm the 49ers and I'm John Lynch, I go to Purdy's agent.
That's a steal.
You see that? Because to me, that's I mean, I don't think Purdy is worth it. You want to give Purdy a dollar more than that? I mean, to me, that's fair and equitable.
You know how I feel.
No, Purdy,
I can't pay Purdy $60 million.
No, Purdy's numbers are so pedestrian. As we say, it's kind of like, you know, 19, like mid-80s quarterback numbers, not named Dan Marino. It's nothing impressive. So I would think if you're John Lynch at the 49ers, that's a nice sort of starting off point, or maybe that's where you get to. But yeah, Darnold goes there. We know that Geno goes to Seattle, so two quarterbacks you could argue that have a ceiling. We'll see what does better. But yeah, the market is kind of slowly but settling. Justin Fields goes to the Jets. Well, you said that was a 2-year deal, 3-year deal.
Two, 40 mil.
So again, guys, where's Kirk Cousins going to? Who's trading for Kirk Cousins?
So our buddy Mark Raimondi at ESPN, he covers the Falcons. Falcons owner Arthur Blank released this on Grady Jarrett. And I just want to, you can go read it, but I just a little bit of it. Over the past decade, this is from Arthur Blank, Grady has exemplified true professionalism, leadership, the humility, which represented both the Falcons and the city of Atlanta. It's been an honor to witness Grady's growth, not only as a team captain and a Pro Bowler on the field, as a remarkable individual and family man off the field. So he goes on to praise and talk about Grady, and everything he's saying is right. But the point is, the Falcons felt so compelled, and our owner, Mike, because this doesn't happen with everybody.
Right.
Felt compelled enough to put out a statement to say, by the way, let me tell you how I feel about this particular player. Guys come and go all the time. But this is what we're talking about, and this is why we're asking you, how do you feel about this move?
And by the way, I went back and we looked at the numbers because, you know, as we always say, I don't think you could pay NFL players enough because the only thing you get is guaranteed. That's what goes in your pocket. Everything else, they can pull the rug out from under you. You can get cut, released. We know that. Grady made $87.6 million guaranteed with the Falcons. There was 1 year, and I had to go back and look at it because I want to be accurate. Grady did get franchised after his first 4 years as a fifth-round draft pick.
Wow, I don't remember that.
Yeah, no, I had to go back and look it up. Yeah, Grady got franchised in 2019. He did make $15 million that year.
Oh, because that's when they did the long-term
correct
deal. Gotcha.
And then following up with that one, then again, he did get the franchise tag extension, and he got $38 million at signing. And again, you add the next contract in 22, another $34 million guaranteed. So he has made a total of $87.6 guaranteed from the Falcons. So I know that, as we said, it's hard to imagine a world without Grady because he's meant so much to the team. But these are the hard decisions you have to make when you're jammed up with the cap.
Not bad for a fifth-round pick.
No.
Matter of fact, that's incredible.
And Grady will eventually be in the Ring of Honor, and eventually the Ring of Honor will be in the building, not outside. I know it's there. The Falcons get mad when I bring this up. I'd love to see go in the stadium and see the names up there, right below where I sit on the 300 level. But Grady will be that Ring of Honor guy at some point.
No doubt about it. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll take more of your phone calls this hour, of course, brought to you by our friends at All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Right now, though, let's get to 4th and 1. All right, let's talk about what we know. Josh Allen gets a record $330 million deal with 6 years. So basically, guys, this was on top of what he was already owed. If you look at it from this standpoint, he had about 120-some-odd million left on his old deal. You add four years to that, it becomes six. And now you're talking about an NFL record $250 million guaranteed. Mike, it's 55 per, which is tied for the most of any player behind Dak Prescott. So, in essence, now Josh will be making more than Patrick Mahomes, more than who am I thinking? Deshaun Watson.
Right.
We're on a per year basis, more than Joe Burrow. Correct. But again, they're tied at the hip, man, and the Bills believe he's the guy that can take them to a Super Bowl. I have no issues with this, Mike. He's played his butt off. He's just been crowned the MVP. They give him the kind of extension that you would expect and puts him in that upper echelon of quarterbacks, man. When we talk about the best five, Mahomes, Allen, Mahomes, Lamar, Who else is in there? Burrow. And Burrow's right. not going to the playoffs every year like this dude is. Not winning yeah. his division every year like this dude is.
And then Burrow's going to move his money around now to make room for everybody else on that team. You're right.
So that's what we know. Also, Mike, DK Metcalf traded to the Steelers. What did you think about this? By the way, second round, 2025 pick. And then he signed a $150 million extension.
Yeah, and if you look at the annual, George Pickens, he's going to look across that receiver room and see a guy who's making 10 times what he's making. I saw a meme where it was a guy basically having a nervous breakdown. He was supposed to be the Steelers coach. So it's supposed to be Mike Tomlin realizing potentially he could have a locker room with Aaron Rodgers, DK Metcalf, and George Pickens.
Jeez.
So Pickens, some are saying in a perfect world, you know, it's a contract year for Pickens. He balls out. I'm going to guess he's not going to take this that well, based on his history. So we'll see. Some would say you may have to move Pickens and then draft a rookie to replace him.
All right. Miles Garrett, guys. Wow, what a turn of events, huh? I want out. Well, how much y'all offering? 4 years, $160 million extension. Mike, he's $40 million per now. It's the most lucrative ever.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcast.
Over for a non-quarterback. Now, that's going to change because, again, I still think a guy like Micah Parsons, who's younger, when he gets his deal. But right now, that's what you're talking about with Miles Garrett. And, oh, by the way, he's back in Cleveland. He's back in Cleveland. Does that surprise you?
No, he really wants to see the Cavaliers take it to the finals this year, Carl. He's a huge Cavs fan. I mean, look, it's weird how it played out there. The open letter, trying to get the meeting with Haslam. Haslam shuts it down, and then they finally sweeten the pot. So, look, if his intentions all along were to stay in Cleveland, well, congratulations. You're the highest paid non-quarterback.
Yeah, like, again, Ja'Marr Chase smiling. Parsons smiling. Trey Hendrickson smiling. Because all of this is raising their money up. Also, Davante Adams goes to the Rams for 2 years, Mike. And I'm glad he didn't try to wait and follow Aaron Rodgers. We said this. I think he's going to ball that out there. I think this is a good move for him. And he's got a great play caller in Sean McVay. We know Stafford's going to be back. Guys, Rams going to be good. I think the Rams are going to be right in the mix in the NFC, but we are going to see. But Davante Adams goes there. And then J.C. Horn becomes the highest paid corner right in our division, Mike, with the Carolina Panthers. And we talked about this to start the show. The Carolina Panthers have money to spend, and it seems like they are going after some major players in this free agent period.
Yeah, we talked about initially. It was funny. We have like NFL insider on insider violence over being accurate. Adam Schefter had him going to the Carolina Panthers, and then apparently Carlton Davis, by the way, goes to the signing with the Patriots. But we found out that Milton Williams is going to go. So is he going to New England? That's official because initially it was Carolina had him. That's what Schefter had, and then Diana Rossini said he's going to New England, and New England's got all that money.
Yes, they do.
Vrabel's got to pay. Hassan Reddick wound up, by the way, getting traded. You see that?
Yes.
Does a one-year deal with the Bucs?
Yeah, and look, good luck. I mean, honestly, here's the other thing, though. This other shoe is dropped, Mike, and these are two guys we talked about. You just talked about Milton.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Sweat is going to the Cardinals.
Yeah, we now, again, you and I debated what would he be here without the supporting cast. And that's a great debate for anybody. Some like, you know, it's funny about less than a week after the Saquon Barkley, a lot of guys in Philly are coming around to say maybe did Howie Roseman overpay for Saquon Barkley. He already had 2 years left on his deal. He didn't have to go that far, but felt that obviously he deserved it. But now it's curious to see how this Eagles defense evolves moving forward. Howie just goes back to the well and drafts some more SEC players. But Arizona goes and gets Josh Sweat.
So Eagles lose Milton Williams to the Patriots, and now Josh Sweat to the Cardinals. His deal, by the way, Falcon fans, if you were like, man, we could have had him. 4 years, $76 million, including $41 in guarantees. We ain't got that kind of money right now. So Drew Rosenhaus did that deal, Mike. So deals continue to drop, man. And if you're going, well, what about the Falcons? We're watching. We're coming back. We got a lot more to dive into. Coming up at 4 o'clock, we're going to talk with our buddy Connor Riley, not only about spring football and G-Day, which is approaching, but also we'll get his thoughts on some of the stuff that's going on around the SEC, especially with the tournament right around the corner. But when we come back, guess who's moved up in the seating? It's Dukes and Bell. Now, we are in the midst of free agency, and we've got a lot of football news, and we'll continue to talk about it here on the show because it is front and center, and rightfully so. We're waiting to see what the Falcons may do, but they've already made a major move today in releasing Grady Jarrett. Again, none of this becomes official until the first league day, which is Wednesday, but all of this stuff is being reported. Also, we do need to talk about what the Hawks did this weekend, and they're back in action tonight, Mike. They are making some hay here. They are in the seventh seed right now after sweeping Indy. I didn't know, you know, people didn't think that was going to happen after beating them Thursday. Can they come back and beat them Saturday? They did.
Hey, you and I were joking around. We were having fun with Steve Kuhnin, as we always do weekly, and I was saying, yeah, man, maybe the – he was like, maybe the Pacers are going to have some fun this weekend. I said, it, they looked like in the first quarter they did spend all night at Magic City.
They did.
I mean, they came out completely flat and lifeless. And I think the Hawks outscored by 19 points in the first quarter and then obviously hung on for the win.
So that is the good news. We'll continue to talk about this as we move through the show. But there's a chance. I mean, what we're telling you is seventh and then you get to sixth. See, guys, top six seeds are guaranteed. They're locks. They're not in the play-in. Can you catch – is it Detroit, I believe it is? Can you catch them?
No, that's five. We're five games back of those guys right now.
It's tough, and time's running out. But
18 games left.
But you got Philly tonight, terrible. You got Charlotte on Wednesday, terrible.
Well, you know us, baby. We always play up to the level of competition and down to the level of competition. Let's hope they don't do that.
You're absolutely right. All right, back to football here real quick. What do you have, Turtle? What you got?
Yeah, this is from D-Led, who will join us tomorrow on the show. He said Falcons aren't going to improve their pass rush in free agency with Mack and Sweat off the board. They'll be shopping at Dollar Tree and drafting folks with their five picks.
That's it, Carl Mike. They're never going to be day one spenders. More like day two. Day three. Somebody shop at the Macy's. We're Filene's basement. Or the Dollar General.
We knew.
Liata
Lisa. Yes, we missed him too. We knew that they were not going to be day one guys. And listen, when we say day one, we're talking about the league year starts, all these deals become official, and there would be reports, just like what we're telling you now, if, for example, we were in the market, which we weren't, and we kind of knew this, for any of these potential D-tackles, Mike, or even these edge guys. But, you know, as we talked a lot about what the Eagles were losing, and Josh Sweat and Milton Williams, those are the kind of guys we were talking about going and get. The reports would be out. We're not involved in any of that.
I know that Daniel Flick, our buddy, had an article in SI saying that we're in the mix a couple days ago for Dre Greenlaw. And I was just telling Carl during the commercial break, I know it's a tough story and it was a tough break to get blown, blow the Achilles out running down to the field in the Super Bowl.
It was.
But that guy, you know, he played two games last year. I'm sorry, I can't keep Troy Andersen on the field. I'm not going to go sign a guy who's just dealing with an Achilles injury. And that's we just dealt with an Achilles injury with Kirk Cousins. That's a hard pass for me on Dre Greenlaw, unless the price is incredibly cheap.
Well, look, Dre Greenlaw and Fred Warner 3 years ago were the best linebacking core in the NFL. It's why the 49ers were going to Super Bowls. And, of course, they had those guys up front with Bosa and company, Mike, and then they had a really good secondary. I'm with you on this. Like that's another reason why I said a guy coming off of an injury, not interested. Guy that's 30-plus, not interested. This is why you got to get in the mix for guys that are in their prime, and there's a cost to that. And if you can't do that, then you got to go find that guy in the draft, and hopefully you draft the right guy.
And it sucks for him because this guy's a fifth rounder, and so I mean he's looking for the big contract. And the injury timing just couldn't have been worse.
Killed him. It absolutely killed its timing. You're right. 404-726-0929. It is Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. As we talk about all the deals that are going down, and if you're just joining us again. Two major quarterbacks off the board when it comes to how this plays out for us with trying to find a trade partner potentially for Kirk Cousins. Justin Fields is going to the Jets, and I think a lot of people are surprised at this. I certainly am, Mike, just knowing that how the Steelers were wanting him back and kind of courting him and saying, hey, it's your team, come on back. And he goes to the Jets. And then Sam Darnold's deal. And look, the money is a surprise, guys. It just is. For a guy that threw 35, 37 touchdowns, 4,000 yards last year and won 14 games, Everybody thought this was going to be a $45 million plus a year right. guy, and the Seahawks grab him for little of nothing when you talk about the quarterback market in the deal that they've signed Sam Darnold to.
$33 million averages out, too, which I got to be honest, I mean, that's a fair deal. I wonder what his camp was like. I mean, did his agent say, look at Sam and say, look, booby, baby, you know, you make him sound like our old agent. You have the bed against the Lions and you poop the bed against Rams. You're not going to get paid big money. So take the $33 million. You make $100 million to get the heck out of Dodge. If you knew our agent, it was similar but different. But no, I think that's fair.
But the good news is, Mike, he gets in, he plays well, he's got another payday coming.
Correct.
He's only 27.
He's betting on himself.
Correct. Right. So that's the good news for Sam Darnold is you're getting $100 million now. Or $55 million in guarantees, you could turn right back around in 2 years and have $150 million or $200 million in guarantees if he plays well. So that's kind of out there. Meanwhile, just some other things that are going on around the NFL, and again, not necessarily Falcon related, but I will tell you guys, I like what Carolina's doing. Now, is Bryce Young the Bryce Young we saw at the end of the season when he sliced and diced us, and he's going to come back a new guy at the start of the season next year? Remember, he got benched. That looked like it was going to be a fiasco, and they said, look, he just needs to sit. He needs to see a few things. But Mike, signing J.C. Horn and making him the highest-paid corner, I think that was a no-brainer. That you keep right. your guys. But I also think some of the money that they're trying to spend here to improve their defense is going to help them. And so I still think, guys, they're probably the worst team in this division. Tampa gets Chris Godwin back, by the way. We didn't mention that. Tampa's still the team to beat. In this division.
Yeah, Hassan Reddick, they get Godwin back. Also, did you mention the Trevon Moehrig signing?
I did not.
Carolina picks up what's considered the number one safety free agent, former Raider. So they're getting better on the back end. So everybody in this division, but this goes back to, you know, this the budget, you know, saying that, well, we always budgeted for Kirk Cousins. Well, you know, when he's not starting, it just doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. Bears get Drew Dalman. All right, our former center signs with the Bears, or he will, and they will literally have an all new offensive line. They drafted Darnell Wright out of Tennessee, but everybody else, Mike, two guards, Jonah Jackson and Joe Tooney, new guards, new center, new left tackle, pretty much, for the Bears.
I mean, you needed to do this because, let's be honest, Caleb Williams, if you're going to get a clean slate and have a fair idea what this guy can do, he can't be running for his life. He got his most sacked quarterback in the league last year.
Yeah. So there's a lot happening there. And then you mentioned Hassan Reddick. Now, would you have been interested in this? I'm just asking. Because I wasn't. I thought he was a head case.
Nah, I just thought the way things played out with the Jets. And you know, what is he at this stage? Plus, how old is he?
So what is it? 1 year deal to the Bucks. By the
Chris,
way.
Chris, is he 30 now? How old is Hassan Reddick? He's still on the right side of 30.
No, I think he's over 30.
Yeah, I that's a hard pass for me as well.
$14 million, including $12 million in guarantees. Now he's going to start the season, meaning camp. He missed all of that stuff last year, right? And then remember, he really had zero impact with the Jets. But
he was late getting there.
He was late getting there. I don't know. I say this, Mike, and he'll probably have three damn sacks in our games.
He is 30 on the button, by the way. Or
guys,
just told me.
We have some breaking news.
Uh-oh.
Source, this is from Adam Schefter, the verified account, with 11.4 million followers. Former Falcons Pro Bowl defensive tackle Grady Jarrett, released today from Atlanta, has already found a new home, reaching agreement on a three-year $43.5 million deal, including $28.5 million fully guaranteed with the Bears.
Okay, I hate Grady.
Deal negotiated by Todd France at Athletes First.
Good for him. And we want him to, now, again, if you believe the Chicago's on the uptick with all the moves we just talked about on the offensive side, good for Grady.
Yeah, I do think they're on the uptick. Are they as good as the Lions? Not yet. But I will tell you that that division is going to be very interesting. And now you say with Minnesota and J.J. McCarthy, because you have to assume that's who's going to start. Mm-hmm. How good is he with the surrounding cast that Sam Darnold had last year? They just re-signed their running back. They still have the wide receivers and the tight end. They're very good defensively. And then the Packers. Like, all of a sudden, Lions, Bears, that division, Mike, might be a beast. If the Bears can come on, and congratulations to Grady, Mike, he would not have gotten this kind of guaranteed money with the Falcons, even in a restructured deal. So the reason why this didn't work, and I'll tell you now that it's done, is the Falcons said, hey, we want to do a deal. Let's restructure. Here's our number. Todd France and Grady said, that ain't high enough. And they couldn't reach an agreement.
Right.
So then they released him. And immediately he signs because we knew there were other teams that were potentially interested in Grady's services. So congratulations to him. But at the end of the day, it didn't make sense for the Falcons to sign him for more than what they were willing to sign him for.
Right. We talked about this. A guy's telling that. It's funny. Irony can be pretty ironic sometimes. I was saying, look, grow up. Grady got over $106 million guaranteed in his career here in Atlanta, if you add it all up. And guys like, this front office is terrible. Like, I've killed this front office for years. I'm just telling you, here's the reality we live in. Grady is the best player on an awful defense. It was making a big cap number. We told you this was inevitable. You just laid it out. And good for Grady. He lands on his feet and he makes some more guaranteed money. Money he could never make here. I mean,
they weren't going to pay him $30 million guaranteed.
They were all guys. There was only so many guys we could cut. As the caller brought up on the 2 o'clock hour, they restructured Onyemata last season. I still thought they may cut him anyway.
But $8 million, $8 million, yeah. Man.
But this was always going to happen. And we love Grady, and we know what he means to this team. But we boxed ourselves into another cap hell. It's just the way we are.
Yeah. And by the way, for the numbers' sake, Grady had a better year than Onyemata last year.
Yeah, Onyemata's numbers were down.
Yes, it's not even close.
But Grady's a bigger, you know, cap hit and right. Bigger cap savings.
All right, man, we got more to get to. Yeah, man, no man's on the way. Don't go anywhere. More news is hitting literally every few minutes. Stay right there. We're going to keep you updated. It's Dukes and Bell. Day here on a Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. Coming up, Connor Riley's going to join us in about 20 minutes. Lots to discuss with him in regards to the Dogs. Grady Jarrett, by the way, released by the Falcons. And then has a deal. 3 years, $43.5 million deal, $28.5 million guaranteed. He's going to the Bears. And so as we were talking about this today and how you feel, like I said, it's not about the move. It's what you do after. What are the Falcons going to do to improve this defense and to improve the team as they move forward? Tough decisions have to be made. But Grady has already landed on his feet. So we'll continue to discuss, guys. It's Dukes and Bell, 404-726-0929, as deals continue to hit. Right now, though, let's get to Yeah Man, No Man. Turtle! What's going on, Turtle? How you doing?
All right, guys. So we've been talking about these moves all day long. Our heads are spinning. Been a really, really fun afternoon, despite obviously seeing guys like Grady Jarrett have to go. But let's talk about what's going on the field next season. Which of the following three quarterback changes that have happened has the most chance to lead to actual success? Sam Darnold to the Seahawks, Geno Smith to the Raiders, or Justin Fields to the Jets? Will any of those moves actually produce significant change for those teams?
I was saying to Carl earlier, I just felt that Geno has a ceiling. I mean, we always think he's, you know, put some good numbers. Carl kind of struggles sometimes in the clutch, you know, in the postseason.
Correct.
Playoffs. Sam Darnold just showed you he's that same guy. So to me, it's almost like you replace one with another, and we'll see how the Raiders do with the, you know, whatever Spytek, the GM. They've got lots of cap space potentially to work with and what they surround him with. But yeah, that's interesting. Justin Fields to the Jets surprised me. You know, because I just don't know what they're going to – what is Aaron Glenn – what are they seeing in Justin Fields? You and I have talked – we've debated him for years. And he, if he was that good, couldn't he have held on to that job in Pittsburgh? And Russell Wilson beat him out.
Well, again, they wanted him back. You know, part of this is – and again, I'd love to ask Mike Tomlin this question, Mike, about the rumor was that they felt they could throw the ball down the field, and they did. They were more effective vertically with the ball down the field. But I also thought at times they protected – Justin.
Right.
You know, he did go 4-2 as a starter. It wasn't like they were losing games, and he beat us to start the season. So, I mean, like, I just don't know what they felt like they needed and then what they ultimately got. And then at the end of the season, I didn't think they used Justin in packages at the end of the year to utilize his legs and his running ability. But nevertheless, we're going to find out. Because my guess is, Mike, if this doesn't work, then you're talking about him, you know, becoming this journeyman quarterback
right.
that maybe sticks around the NFL, but maybe doesn't get another chance to start anywhere else. That did surprise me because I'm telling you, the Steelers wanted him back bad, but the effect of it, Turtle, I don't know if any of these are going to have effect. Listen, Sam Darnold's going to a place now where they just lost their most established receiver and their most dynamic receiver. They still have a good running game, but this is retooling. And what you're asking him to do in Seattle, Geno couldn't do, which is carry us.
Right.
So I don't know if that makes a difference. The only thing is he gets his money, and it's not even as significant as we thought. And then the Justin Fields deal, look, they're in rebuild mode too. New coach, new general manager, new vision. Do you still think the Jets, being a Jets guy, do they have a playoff roster right now?
Well, let me throw it back at you guys by framing it this way. If I gave you betting odds that all three of those teams will finish last in their divisions or the field, which are you taking?
Yeah, I kind of like the last place thing there.
I do too.
Carl just brought up Seattle. Wide receivers, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Jake Bobo, Derek Young. Now, presumably,
Justin Jefferson.
Presumably going to draft somebody in this year's draft to maybe beef up that wide receiver room. Noah Fant at tight end. Yeah, that's not exactly a murderer's row of wideouts for Sam Darnold.
No. I mean, look, I think we took for granted how good maybe the team was. We gave him a lot of credit. He made the right plays and all that. But Aaron Jones was a beast for him. Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison. Take those two guys and put them anywhere. They're number ones. They're starting. T.J. Hockenson, Mike, monster. Like, they had a really good offensive line. And then we talked about how Brian Flores ran that defense and how they got pressure on everybody. Yeah. Like, he was in a really good situation. I don't think he's going as good of a situation as Seattle.
And Geno's got Brock Bowers. We saw how awful the Raiders' wide receiver core was on that Monday night game. But Jacoby Myers, the law firm, Trey Tucker, D.J. Turner. So, again, they're going to go to the well as well at some point and get some new guys. So those are two awful wide receiver cores, but Brock Bowers obviously makes the Raiders a little more attractive.
For fantasy owners, Kenneth Walker is going to lead the league in touches this season out in Seattle. All right. Don't talk about my family. That's what LeBron said to a certain Stephen A. Smith over the weekend in L.A. There was recorded footage of the two meeting up before a game, and LeBron was seen mouthing, "Don't talk about my son," after Stephen A. criticized Bronny on his popular program, First Take. Stephen A., of course, being the, we'll call him a thespian at this point, had to address the situation on his show.
"That wasn't a basketball player confronting me. That was a parent. That was a father. And I can't sit here and be angry or feel slighted by LeBron James in any way in that regard. By all accounts, he's obviously a wonderful family man and a wonderful father who cares very, very deeply about his son. And based on some of the comments that he had heard, or shall I say, I think he thought he heard, he clearly took exception to some of the things that he heard me say, and he confronted me about it."
Okay, here's my thing, though. Yeah, man, no man. You're Stephen A. Smith. Bronny James and Bron playing in that first game together on the opening night of the season, that was the biggest story in sports. You got to talk about it. So if I'm LeBron James, you don't get special privilege to come up to Stephen A. Smith and tell him how to do his show.
Yeah. Well, you don't get to manipulate your franchise to go draft your son who has no business being in the NBA and then complain about the fact he doesn't belong in the NBA when people say he doesn't belong in the NBA. You know, and that Stephen's got a job to do. They pay him $100 million for it. By the way, I love serious Stephen. There's over-the-top theatric Stephen, and then there's bring it down a notch Stephen. So anyway, but yeah, look, he's well within his rights. I thought LeBron kind of showed his butt a little bit there, but we understand being a dad, you know, like your son being talked about in that way.
So you didn't like the fact that he approached him?
No.
Because I didn't either.
That's his job. That's Stephen A.'s job. He's the face of ESPN, and you're LeBron James, and you made your son the biggest story.
Girl, he created the mess.
Yeah, I didn't like it either. Look, and I spent a lot of time on this talking about it, and I will tell you, it is interesting to hear the opinions from people all over the country about this because LeBron is such a polarizing figure, but so is Stephen A. And then a lot of people, Mike, you know this, they don't like Stephen A. They think sometimes he's made it personal with LeBron, and maybe this is LeBron getting back at him for all the things that he said or done about, you know, to basically say he's not the best player in the NBA history. It is Michael Jordan, and LeBron is taking offense to that. Either way, Turtle, I agree with you. This should have never happened. And by the way, the whole grandstanding there and making sure that the camera saw him and making sure that everybody knew, I'm confronting him right now. And the fact that you were able to read his lips, I didn't like it. I thought
show.
It was unnecessary.
It was show.
I thought it was unnecessary.
Yeah, it all feeds back into the Hollywoodism of it all. All right. Where were you when you heard at the medieval times in Dallas the chants of fire, Nico? Because that's what happened over the weekend. There have now been three games in the Dallas-Fort Worth area at FC Dallas, Dallas Stars, and now at the medieval times in Dallas, where fire Nico chants have broken out throughout stadiums. Yeah, man, no, man. they can't hold on to this guy for much. This has to come to an end quickly, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Mark Cuban's no longer running point on this thing, Carl. Who knows how tone-deaf the ownership is, right?
It's true.
And I mean, the previous one a couple years back before Arthur Smith landed in Pittsburgh was Fire Matt Canada. That was the Steelers offensive coordinator.
Right.
They would chant that at Pirates games and Penguins games and Pitt Panthers games, too.
Yeah, and Canada was, I mean,
right.
Tomlin held on to him too long, and so that was deserved. Yeah, look, we think that this is probably going to play itself out, but how soon is the question? I just feel like, you know, all of a sudden they're going from the NBA Finals to the lottery, potentially. That's what it looks like. They're not going to make the play-in, or they're going to be a lottery team. And then what do you do if you are the new ownership of the Mavericks? You don't have an attraction that people want to come see in Luka. The two stars, at least one of them, is hurt for a long period of time, and maybe Kyrie's back at some point next season, but certainly maybe not at the start of the season. And then AD.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Turtle, I don't know. How long do you hold on to this situation before the fan base forces their hand? I don't know. I don't know if that happens this offseason. Do you wait to next? Like, how long? I don't know.
Well, they could sign Michael Jordan in his prime tomorrow, and I think people would still hate.
No,
Rico,
I mean, this is like, and you know, it's, and the thing is, I've read some of the op-ed pieces in the Dallas papers, Carl. It's that horrible feeling as a fan where you just feel powerless.
Yes,
you know that the ownership has made the move. The guy's gone. You can't go back in time. You know, I mean, everybody's got one. We talk about Dominique here with the Hawks. When I was a kid, the Mets, the ownership was so cheap, and they weren't going to give Tom Seaver a contract. I remember it broke my 9-year-old heart. Broke my heart. That's when I knew, Carl, that sports sucked, and it was unfair. And don't get your hopes up. And you better root for an emblem and not the dude.
How did they not pay Seaver?
Yeah.
I mean, like,
seriously,
yeah, well, just trade him away.
The owner was a cheapskate, and they basically had a hatchet man that was a general manager who just completely gutted that team and basically screwed him for almost, you know, 8-9 years before they got back to being respectable. But anyway, getting back to Dallas, yeah, I mean, that's where people say, I'm done, and I'm giving up my tickets, and I'm not coming back.
And that, by the way, that's what's going to get him fired. It's not this these chants or any of that. It is how many season tickets they lose,
right?
How much merchandise sales go down. Because, by the way, Luka was selling like crazy. Selling like crazy. All of that stuff's going to get him fired. That's what's going to get him got.
All right, Mike, before we get out of here, I don't know if you were a Michelle Beadle fan before this story, but you're going to be after.
Okay.
She says about ESPN, quote, "I worked there. We just always had to talk about the Lakers. We always had to talk about the Cowboys. It's brain-numbing, formulated BS. There were days like, how are we forcing a story about this when there's actually stories people might care about?" So Michelle Beadle going on a rant. This is coming off the Stephen A. LeBron story. That
Stephen A. refuting that they only talk about LeBron and the Cowboys.
Yeah. So,
and the Yankees.
Yeah, man, no man. Michelle Beadle, she's on point. You agree with this?
Hook 'em, first of all, Michelle.
Yeah.
Secondly, yes, she's right. And Mike has alluded to this numerous times. It's why we feel slighted when great things happen in our city and we're like, oh, we're not even recognized. Our guys don't even make the highlights. Where's our play, top 10 plays?
Right.
We don't get all of that recognition because, again, the higher-ups there, and I was there as well, don't feel like it moves the needle.
Right.
It's why they don't talk about Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City should be on SportsCenter every day. They are killing it, but they're not. The Cleveland Cavaliers should be on SportsCenter.
Nope.
They're not.
Nope. So LeBron's not there.
Correct. So there is this thing, this formula that they feel like, hey, we got to talk about this stuff because, Mike, you said it. This is this is where we're going to live because we think the audience that cares most is going to care about this stuff.
Right. Like, you know, Carl just touched on it. To me, there's a formula, and I just go back. I remember I was watching something, it was a 30 for 30, and they went back, and it was like there was a story that they went back, and it was like Dan Patrick and Oberman. You know, even Oberman's a pain in the ass, but, you know, that was great. Stuart Scott and Rich Eisen. When SportsCenter was great, and it was highlights, and you didn't have these mind-numbing debate shows, which, again, Carl, I don't know if people are just literally sitting on their mom's couch watching this stuff in the middle of the day.
Obviously,
when they're not watching Judge Judy,
yeah.
But this is what they want.
Don't talk about Judge Judy.
But this is the ultimate casual sports fan, and to Michelle Beadle's point, I don't know, maybe we do it for a living, Carl, we're too close, I can't watch it.
No, it's become formulaic is the nice way to put it. Nauseating, I think, is
I'll say this.
Well, I mean, I told you the other day when I was at the gym and I was going from station to station lifting, and I looked up at the TV and it was a story about Paul George canceling his podcast.
That's right.
And I get back, I'm over doing shoulders, I come over, and 5 minutes later they're still talking about that. How can you talk about that for 5 minutes?
Yeah,
we talked about it for 30 seconds.
And I'll say this, like PTI, which has been really good, but at least they hit a variety of top, which is what made that show interesting. And the personalities were really good, right? I mean, but at the end of the day, at least they attempt to try to talk about a variety of things. Even though it's a 30-minute show, I'm with you, man. I totally agree with Michelle Beadle.
All right, Big O, we got to run. Hit my music.
We got a lot more to dive into. Connor Riley's going to stop by here in the 4 o'clock hour. Dogs getting practices and all that stuff underway as we get ready for spring. And, of course, G-Day. The countdown is on. But we'll also talk to him about the basketball team. Mike, are they on the bubble? Are they going to get in? We'll find out from Connor Riley next.